Welcome to Dayspring Church Podcast. As you listen, you may want to take a moment to pause and reflect on what God is highlighting for you.
We turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy 1 verse 5 for the last time as we conclude our series, For Real. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, Paul says to Timothy, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am now persuaded lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying out of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. This morning, we're concluding this series, as I mentioned. We focused on love, and we focused on power, two things that get a lot of airtime in our church and in churches all across the world for good reason. But often this third ingredient, a sound mind or self-discipline as it is often translated, is missing in action in our teaching, in our discipleship, and in our expression of faith. And the church is poorer for it. In an era of chronic spiritual distraction, a sound mind is the spirit-empowered discipline of ultimate focus. And it might just be one of the most important and needed gifts in the body of Christ in this present time. A sound mind is a mind set free from the paralysis of fear to see things as they truly are. It empowers us to live a non-reactionary, non-anxious presence in our world where we are able to discern clearly and wisely and act according to what the moment demands in the love and power of Christ. Biblical scholar C.K. Barrett says this, "Lacking love, power is dangerous. Lacking power, love is ineffective. But a love that is empowered but lacking a sound mind is apt to be wild and fruitless. Hence, these three gifts are complementary." Often the best way to understand a biblical idea like this, the sound mind, which is not language that we're using every day, we don't throw it around, and therefore it's maybe hard to grasp and understand what it was that Paul meant. An easier or the best way to do this is to understand or see it at work in the biblical context, to see it at work in a biblical story. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to turn to Matthew 14, to a passage that we are well familiar with, Peter walking on the water. And it says this in verse 22, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn," everyone say, "shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid.' 'Lord, if it's you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, crying out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith,' he said, 'why did you doubt?' And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Matthew wants us to read this in the context of our own walk of faith. We see that Jesus makes the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him. This was their comfort zone. This was their everyday practice, fishermen on the water in a boat. They were well familiar and well comfortable until they were confronted with a storm. Now, to truly understand what's going on, we have to understand how the Israelites regarded the sea. They saw it as the domain of evil powers and chaos. It's the picture that the Israelites had of the water. They represented evil, the evil powers at work in the world, and untamed chaos. And the wind and the waves speak directly to the spirit of fear and chaos in our world. So think of the storms that we face right now in 2026. It's just a few. Global conflict, economic instability, political polarization, the constant digital outrage in our pockets. We, just like the disciples, often find ourselves far from the shore, exhausted by the winds of our time. Listen to Matthew's words, shortly before dawn, while it was still dark. Do you know what happens shortly before dawn? More often than not, that's when we give up. Statistically speaking, just before dawn is when most people in hospitals give up their life and pass into eternity. Just before dawn. The psalmist says it beautifully in Psalm 130. He says this, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. I put my trust, my hope in His word. I wait for the Lord more than the watchman wait for the morning. Psalmist understands here this critical moment just before dawn of watching and waiting for the Lord. Just before the light comes, this is when we need the most focus, the most, we need to be the most alert and paying attention. Why? Because in this moment, what the disciples don't know is that Jesus, we read this in Mark's account, Jesus is up on the mountainside, not going for a lovely stroll in the middle of the night. He's watching over and he's praying over the disciples. Even though Jesus was absent, he was very much active in that moment, just before dawn. You might be in a moment just before dawn. Maybe our world is in a moment just before dawn. And Jesus doesn't seem to be in our boat, but we can draw great comfort from the reality and the truth that Jesus is in heaven, interceding, watching over, ready to come, walking on the water to bring salvation, peace, and healing to our world. We, like the disciples, are often unaware that although Jesus is not physically present, he sees us and he has a plan. Jesus went out to them, we read. The disciples saw him, but they were terrified, not knowing what was going on. It's a ghost. And Jesus says, take courage, don't be afraid. Peter cries out, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. Story of Peter walking on the water captures Paul's encouragement to Timothy to walk in sincere faith, exercising the gifts of the Spirit, power, love, and a sound mind. The wind and the waves speaks to the spirit of fear, wanting to hijack God's power in our life. Fear wants to corrupt our vision of divine love and disconnect us from the outstretched hand of Jesus and the promise of his presence that saves us, holds us, and forms us. And a sound mind is seen through Peter's gaze. You see, Paul gives us the theology of a sound mind, but Peter on the water shows us the brutal flesh and blood reality of what happens when we lose it. We neglect this gift, this spirit-empowered promise of a sound mind. Our faith is shipwrecked. A sound mind is the spiritual muscle that keeps our faith locked, keeps our vision and our focus locked onto Jesus when the wind is screaming at you to look at the waves. And we know that as long as Peter, with his sound mind engaged, kept his eyes and his faith fixed on Jesus, the ultimate reality, he stayed above the chaos. It's so basic. It's so obvious. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. But in practice, it is so, so hard to do. Because human focus, my focus, your focus is fragile. So Peter here for us is a model of both sincere faith and a failure of faith. What we have to understand is a sound mind is not a mind that ignores the storm. It is a mind that stubbornly refuses the storm to be the loudest voice. It refuses to let fear corrupt the gift of God's power in our life. And a mind that refuses to allow fear to corrupt divine love. So let's have a look at these two things that happen when we let go of a sound mind. One, a sound mind refuses to let fear turn love inward. We all want to experience profound love. Amen? But without a sound mind, love has the potential to attach itself to fear and turn inwards to self-protect. It's a picture of Jesus on the cross. He's surrounded by the ultimate storm. Mockery, torture, abandonment, death. Yet his mind was so perfectly sound and fixed on the Father that he was able to look at his murderers and forgive them. In a moment of extreme pain and abandonment, he looks at his mother and provides care for her. Fear makes us turn inward. But a sound mind allows us to stay turned outward in love, even in the midst of a storm. It allows you and I, in the midst of chaos and uncertainty, to be a channel of God's love. This is incredibly important. What caused Peter to sink? He looked at the wind. His mind shifted from the face of perfect love to the threat of the storm. When the mind fixates on the storm, fear inevitably takes over. And instead of allowing the love of God to flow in us and through us, that love is turned inward. And we miss the beauty of being able to serve one another, encourage one another, comfort one another. We are disconnected from the heart of the Father and from his community. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians 5. You, my brothers, were called to be free. Free from fear, free from sin, free from death. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. In other words, do not allow love to be turned inward to indulge your fleshly desires. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. A sound mind enables and empowers us to say this: I am already perfectly held by the love of God. Therefore, I am free to love others, even my enemies, unconditionally. To keep our love cross-shaped, our minds must be fiercely disciplined to look at Jesus rather than the cultural, financial, or relationally turmoil, political winds around us. Amen. Number two, a sound mind refuses to let fear turn divine power into human control. As followers of Jesus, we understand that Jesus has power. Amen? Can I get an amen? Amen. And because of our relationship with Jesus, because of his spirit within us, we too have been given the gift of God's power to bring heaven to earth in order to effect real change in our world. Without learning the discipline of a sound mind, our mind instead has the potential to be governed by fear, fear of the other, fear of rejection, fear of the unknown. And when this happens, we disconnect ourselves from the power of God and take up our own power in the name of God. The deadly combination. And Christian history is filled with example after example of Christian men and women, Christian leaders, faithful followers of Jesus, who let fear disconnect them from the power of God, and instead they took up their own power, shaped in their own image, in the name of God, and did great damage to the body of Christ. We must remain locked in to the power of God's, to God's power through a spirit-empowered sound mind. Power that is shaped like the cross. Power that is self-sacrificial. Power that is others-focused. Rather than our own power, which we take up to control, manipulate, to manage others, to dominate and destroy, to get what we want. Sound mind helps hold divine power to the shape of Christ, preventing holy boldness from becoming human arrogance. And when Peter engaged a sound mind, his faith stayed fixed and focused on Jesus. And what was he able to do? Participate in divine power. Participate in the miraculous power of God and walk on water. Walk on chaos. Power of God turned water into a solid pathway for Peter to walk on. That is the invitation that all of us have in front of us, the invitation of divine power. But when Peter lost his sound mind, his faith was weakened, he lost his focus on Jesus, and he became all too aware of his own human limitations and began to sink. Now, Peter gets it right. In that moment, recognizing that fear had shifted his focus from Jesus to the storm, it disconnected him from divine power to his own strength. And in his own strength, he was not able to hold himself above the chaos, hold himself above the water. In his own strength, he wasn't able to prevent himself from drowning. But Peter quickly recognizes it, and what does he say? Lord, save me. He cries out, Lord, save me. Similar to that word Hosanna, which means save, help. This is what Peter's cry out. But imagine for a second if Peter had not done this. And instead, Peter did what we so often do. You imagine the wind is howling, the cold water is rising up to his chest. Panic sets in, hijacking his sound mind. The spirit of fear is pulling him under as he shifts his focus from Jesus to circumstance. Imagine if instead of reaching for the hand of his Savior standing right in front of him, Peter started frantically looking around for something else to keep him afloat. Maybe he spots a bit of driftwood floating by and he goes, that'll do. Maybe he just thinks, you know, in my own strength, I can tread water. I've got this. Or maybe he calls out to the disciples and say, hey, throw me a rope, throw me a line. That seems ridiculous to us. But in practice, often, it's exactly what we do. See, the opposite of a sound mind isn't just paralyzing fear, it's the exhaustion of treading water in our own strength. The exhaustion of trying to save ourselves. It sounds completely absurd that Peter wouldn't reach for the hand of Jesus, that we in the same situation wouldn't reach for the hand of Jesus. Why would we trust in a bit of floating debris when the Lord of the storm has offered his hand? But have a think back through your own life. Jesus never left you. His promise is that he would never forsake you. Yet how many times do we find ourselves reaching for lesser things, trying to keep us afloat? These lesser things, let's just call them as it is, they are idols. If I could have the keys player back up. They are idols that we put our faith and trust in, hoping that these things will keep us afloat. When the water gets too high, we reach for our phone. We flick on Netflix trying to numb the pain and the panic. We strive harder for financial security. We find comfort in unhealthy relationships. We get more educated, or we join in with the rest of the world in political outrage. We do these things not realizing that we are turning them into idols, trying to keep us afloat. As human beings, we don't just reach for lesser alternatives. We turn alternatives into saviors. Over and over again, hoping that they will give us the peace of mind that only Christ can provide. C.S. Lewis, he argued in one of his books that we reach for lesser alternatives not because our desires are too strong, but because our desire is too weak. We settle for cheap imitations of peace. He said this, "We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." Now, our Australian minds have to get over this English language from C.S. Lewis, a holiday by the sea. He's talking about a good old Australian beach holiday, waterfront views, sand and water right off our doorstep. Why would we settle for making mud pies in the slums when that's what's been offered? Infinite joy. It's not that our desire is too strong, it is too weak, not able to grasp and grab onto the hand of Jesus reaching out to save us. We settle for lesser alternatives, turning them into idols, and we are left exhausted. Have a look around our world right now. If there was one word you could choose to sum up the mood of the day, you might reach for that word, exhaustion. Too tired. Worn out. It's the canary in the coal mine telling us that somewhere along the way, we've reached for a lesser thing. Because the Jesus I read about in Scripture, he doesn't promise me a life free from trouble, but he does promise me a life of peace in the midst of trouble. Jesus says that we will face trouble, but then he says, do not let that trouble get into your heart. Meaning that his word and his presence has a way of keeping trouble from getting into our heart. There's a big difference between being surrounded by trouble, being in troubling circumstances, a troubling world, and having trouble settle down in our heart. Lesser things, idols. The panicked mind looks at waves and calculates, I am going to drown. Fear kicks in, and to survive, fear demands control. It whispers, you don't have enough. It says, you are not enough. So we manipulate and we manage. We hoard our time, our resource, our love, instead of using our power to bless, strengthen, and serve, we build walls and our hearts become impenetrable. Our world, even the Christian world, has become very good at speaking to our fears. And let me just take a little moment to speak into this. I know I'm fast running out of time. As your pastor, I am very concerned about some of the Christian voices gaining traction and growing viral in our world today. These voices have passion, they have conviction, they recognize evil at work in our world, but they lack a sound mind. And the solution they point towards sounds nothing like the voice of Christ calling out in the midst of our storm. Instead of love, they offer judgment. Instead of healing, they create us versus them dividing lines. They tell you to be afraid of those out there, those who believe different, vote different, dress different, and behave different. They are offering nothing more than their own fears, baptized in opinion and sold as gospel. That's why we need this Spirit-empowered gift of a sound mind. We've been given the power of Christ, resurrection power, baptized, clothed, filled with an unsearchable love and a sound mind that keeps these things in the shape of Christ. These moments like we find ourselves right now in our world when the waves seem to be getting bigger, the wind more violent, that we need to be ever more vigilant and resilient in our discipleship. Check our focus. Check our gaze. And look for the outstretched hand of Jesus. Beautiful thing is, have a listen to this. In the context of this walking on water story, Peter, imagine what he would have learnt in and through this moment. He gets it right. Of course, we mentioned that. He gets it right. He calls out. He doesn't look for debris. He doesn't call out to the disciples. He doesn't try to tread water in his own strength. He realizes who is in front of him and he calls out, Lord, help. Now, with all that in mind, listen to the same man pen these words years later. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature. Listen to these words. Think about the chaos of the waters having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. I can't prove this, of course, but I imagine Peter might have been reflecting back on that moment when he was pulled from the chaos of the world, pulled from the chaos of evil waters, saved by the hand of grace. And maybe in that moment, his heart realized what his head had yet to grasp, that he had been invited to participate in divine power, a power that looks like the cross. You see, Peter would, he would be rebuked famously for misunderstanding the kind of power that would bring salvation into our world. Remember the moment? Peter says, Jesus, you are the Messiah, the Son of God, correctly. He gets applauded, well done. And so he should, revelation from the Father. And just moments later, Jesus rebukes him because he misunderstands the kind of power that was going to bring salvation to the world. Church, Dayspring. Spirit of God has not given us timidity. He has not given us fear. He has given us the gift of power, love, and a sound mind. But it's a power that is in the shape of the cross. It's a love that is cruciformed in nature, self-sacrificial, others-focused, serving the lost and the broken, a love that pours out, a love that gives of itself. We cannot allow a mind fixated on fear and chaos to distort the power of God and the love of God in this moment. If we can develop a sound mind, I believe the church will become who it's called to be, the light of the world, a non-anxious presence in an anxious world. They will see within us King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who is the Prince of Peace. Can we stand to our feet? Let's close our eyes. One more quick thread I want to pull on this story as we come into this moment of response. When the disciples first saw Jesus walking on the water, they thought he was a ghost. He was unreal. Mysterious, not concrete. This morning, I believe that some of us here, we've heard about Jesus. We've read about Jesus. People like me get up and say nice things about Jesus, but he's yet to become real in your life. If you were honest, he is a mysterious figure that you can't quite grab onto. Fear or doubt. Maybe some of the idols in your heart are keeping him as a mysterious figure. This morning, he wants to make himself real. He's simply saying the same words that he said to Peter. Come. Come. Follow me. I will show you that I am real. A very real presence. A very real love. A very real peace. A very real hand of salvation. Well-timed help in a time of trouble. Let's hold out our hands this morning. As I prayed for you this morning, I got a sense that some of you are going to be released right now from a spirit of fear and anxiety. The weight of anxiety and worry that has been on you this week as you think towards the future and think through some of the things you're facing. God right now is extending his hand. As you cry, Lord, help. He's releasing minds and hearts from the spirit of fear all over this place. Lord Jesus, would you come? Would you set us free from the spirit of fear? As we, in this moment, choose to lock eyes with you, to focus our gaze upon you, Jesus, we take your hand. Take the gift of your power and your love and participate in the divine nature, divine purpose for the calling that you have for each and every single one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you were blessed. To find out what's happening in the life of our community, you can visit dayspring.com.au or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram.